This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. 2 years ago today, in a televised address to the nation, President Bush warned Saddam Hussein that he had 48 hours to leave Iraq. Failure to meet that deadline, the president said, would, quote, result in military conflict commenced at a time of our choosing. U.S. troops entered Iraq 2 days later. Yesterday, President Bush said he understands the desire to bring American troops home, but that they will remain in Iraq until, quote, Iraq is capable of defending itself.
People want their troops home, but they don't want their troops home if it affects the mission. We've made a lot of progress.
Roughly a third of the troops in Iraq are National Guard. They used to be called weekend warriors. Now many are spending years, not weekends, on active duty, most of them in Iraq. As part of our series, The Span of War, NPR's John McChesney reports that finding and keeping recruits for the Guard is becoming increasingly difficult.
Liberty High School, a middle-class neighborhood, Bakersfield, California.
Now, let's get honest.
Sergeant Albert Baker strolls back and forth in front of 25 high school seniors in an economics class, making his pitch. He knows that these days he has to deal with the prospect of combat head-on.
What was one of the things you guys said when I asked, what are some of the first things you think about when someone says, I'm joining the military?
Go to war.
War, death, ooh. Yeah, those are some of the first things you think. Can you go to Iraq if you join the National Guard? Hell yeah, you can. I'll tell you, you can.
Baker has waited till nearly the end of his 45-minute sales rap to discuss this unpleasant eventuality. But then he adds some advice on how a new recruit might decrease the likelihood of ending up in Iraq.
Now, Tiffany here wants to be a paralegal. Now, is she probably going to go to Iraq? More than likely not, right?
But Baker spends almost his entire 45 minutes on the economics of college. Everyone in this class says they want to go. Scrawling figures on a whiteboard behind him, Baker marches the students through the math. Enough money for books, up to $4,500 a year for tuition, and $624 a month for just one weekend's work.
That's an extra $624 on my 2005 Chevy Silverado with the lift kit, painted charcoal gray. Charcoal gray.
And then comes the kicker.
Since you stood up, since you said, hey, you know what, I want to do something for myself, I want to do something for my country, the National Guard is going to say, hey, you're pretty swell. Here's another $10,000 bonus just for joining. Not too bad, right?
Grand total, over $27,000. So are there any takers here at Liberty High? Derek Schaefer says, maybe.
I've never known about any of that. It was pretty cool.
Get you interested enough to sign up?
Yeah, but, well, I don't, not right now, but I'll think about it.
You're going to go to college?
Yeah.
So that would help out, huh?
A lot.
What about the war in Iraq? Would that worry you?
Yeah, that's one thing that does worry me.
A lot?
Yeah. Scary.
In the 25 years since the Vietnam War, the question of lengthy deployments to combat zones had not been an issue for people enlisting in the Guard. People have joined largely for help with education, cheap mortgages, a little adventure, or to maintain contact with the military after leaving active service. Now, the Guard has to sweeten the deal with big bonuses and has also begun to beef up its staff with 1,400 new recruiters. Hazel Berceño, born in Nicaragua, has been recruiting for a couple of years in the heavily Latino neighborhoods of southeast Los Angeles. Today, she set up a table at Bell High School during lunchtime. Three 17-year-old boys approach her and offer her a recruiter's dream. They want to join up as buddies, and they're just about to go on their two-month break. Berceño sets the hook.
There's something that's called quick ship that you leave almost right away. Okay, to go to basic training. If you guys are willing to work with me, I will work with you guys, and I will do anything, and I will work immediately for you guys. My time will be for you guys, so that way maybe you guys can go right now while you guys are on your vacation, and then you'll have your military ID card, and you can flash it to all the girls here in high school and say, look, I'm a soldier. And you're like, oh, I want to be with you. No, just playing.
The boys seem eager, but things are not always that easy for Berceño. She gets lists of students from local high schools, along with their scores on a military service aptitude test. She calls the high-scoring students first, and she says she is meeting increasing parental resistance.
I'm calling. I'm looking for, you know, John Lopez. This is Sonia Berceño with the National Guard. My son's not joining the military. Goodbye. Or, it's against my religion. We get a lot of, my son's dead. Yeah. There's no way in the world that my son is joining the Guard. Don't ever call back here again.
Berceño has little patience with parental fears that their kids might get wounded or killed. She thinks there's a better chance of being killed in L.A. than in Iraq.
Because they might get killed when they step outside the door. They can get shot. Might as well get shot for freedom, for a purpose.
Finding new recruits is not the only staffing problem the Guard is facing. Hanging on to the experienced troops already in the Guard is also threatening to become a serious issue. Some Guardsmen who just returned from Iraq to Camp Roberts in California are in the base internet cafe, playing, of all things, a combat game on their laptops.
Is that you? I've got you.
The Guard is trying to hang on to its seasoned troops by offering a $15,000 bonus for a 6-year reenlistment. Specialist Braden Stockham says he just couldn't resist.
Yeah, they got me. I mean, I was going to re-up for another 2 years anyway. They got me 6 years because of the bonus, so I might as well get the money. Tax-free, too.
Well, it's only tax-free if you sign up in Iraq or some other foreign posting. Specialist Todd Schreffler said the bonus didn't tempt him at all.
For 6 years, I don't think it's worth it. For me, it's not. I lost a lot of time with my kids. They're young. It's not worth it. And I know a lot of my guys that are still up there are talking. They're getting out. They're tired of it. They definitely won't get me reenlisting.
And that could be bad news for the Guard.
We need those people to stay in because now they've got that operational experience, and it's very valuable.
Sergeant First Class Charles Stewart has been a recruiter in Pennsylvania. He's sitting in the command tent at Camp Shelby, Mississippi, and he will soon be in Iraq, where he will keep on recruiting. That the Guard is sending recruiters into a combat zone indicates how serious it is about retention. Stewart tracks soldiers who are on the bubble, that is, close to being discharged, and will do everything he can to keep them in the Guard. He'll be on a level playing field with the soldiers he recruited back home.
I have soldiers here that I put in that said, the chances of you deploying is nil. And then they call me up, Sergeant Stewart, I'm getting deployed. And I'm like, you know what? I know, but I'm going to be right there with you.
But the National Guard has an even bigger problem than hanging on to their own. And that's signing up soldiers from the regular Army who are leaving active service. For years, that's been a major pipeline for acquiring fully trained soldiers and officers. General Roger Schultz is National Director of the Army National Guard.
In previous years, we've always had a fairly large number, and I mean thousands. Our highest was 10,000 members from active duty just came directly into the Guard. Currently, we're not experiencing those kind of enlistment numbers at all.
That's an understatement. Recruitment from former active duty members is down by nearly 75%. So the Guard is facing not just a numbers crisis, but also an experience crisis.
I think that the experience dimension there is more important than the numbers dimension.
David Siegel is a military sociologist at the University of Maryland. He says the Guard deploys its units by ranking their training and their equipment, and there are only 15 qualified brigades.
And we have been calling them up at a good clip. By the end of the current year, we will have gone through all 15. The cup will be empty.
Not good news, since the Guard accounts for roughly a third of the troops now in Iraq. Siegel and other military analysts agree that the Guard wasn't designed to do what it's being asked to do, and that the solution is to take the load off the Guard by expanding the active forces. John McChesney, NPR News.
Tomorrow we talk with defense analyst David McGinnis about the National Guard and Reserves. Previous reports are at npr.org.